Today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. Here is the main point. Our high priest sat down in the place of the highest honour in heaven, at God's right hand. There he ministered in the sacred tent, the true power of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not have been a priest, since there are already priests who offer the gifts required by the law of Moses. They serve in a place of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning: "Be sure that you make everything according to the design I have shown you here on the mountain." But our high priest has been given a ministry that is far superior to the ministry of those who serve under the old laws. For he is the one who guarantees us a better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But God himself found fault with the old one when he said, "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is a new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds so they will understand them, and I will write them on their hearts so they will obey them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbours, nor will they need to teach their family, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' Everyone, from the least to the greatest, will already know me. And I will forgive their wrongdoings, and I will never again remember their sins." When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and ready to be put aside. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So we've read today about a new covenant. A covenant is an agreement, a contract, a treaty. It's basically an agreement between two different parties. So what Jesus has done is he's brought about a new covenant, a new agreement between God and human beings. It's a new covenant because there was an old covenant. Now, the old covenant was quite spectacular. God took a people who were in slavery. He miraculously released them from slavery. You can read about that in the book of Exodus under the leadership of Moses. And he made a covenant with them. The deal was something like this: I will be your God, you will be my people, I will take care of you, I will prosper you, but there is your side of the deal. And that side of the deal was summarized in the Ten Commandments that begin, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt from the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods but me." And it goes on in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy to set out what that law looks like. Obey it, you'll prosper. If you don't, then you will not. And the story of what Christians call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, is the story of a group of people trying to come to terms with that sort of relationship with God. Now, there was a ceremony that brought in this covenant, which involves sprinkling with blood. Like the writer to the letter to the Hebrews, there are things we don't have time to talk about in detail here. But when Jesus comes and he announces a new covenant, the ceremony now is what we call the communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, where we share bread and wine together. And we pass the wine to each other. And we remember the words of Jesus: "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you." It brings about a whole new relationship between us and God. That's what we remember every time we celebrate the Lord's death for us in the communion service, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us to bring us into a whole new relationship with God. Now, long before Jesus, a man called Jeremiah had made a prophecy. He said that the day would come when God would launch a new covenant. It wouldn't be like the old one. It wouldn't be on the basis of keep the rules and you will be okay. It would be about God doing a much deeper work in people. Writing the law of God, not in a list of rules and regulations to be followed, but writing it deep within their hearts. God really acting in them to change them. Now, if you've been following these talks from the letter to the Hebrews, you may remember that the letter to the Hebrews keeps stressing that Jesus is a priest, that Jesus is our high priest, that he is the go-between between God and us. So what Jesus has done is he has opened out the way for that new covenant. It's not just about us saying, God, this is what we want, and him doing it or not. It's about him changing our hearts. It's about him changing us at the deepest level. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And it gets even better. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. If you want to know God, if you want to encounter God, the best way to do it is to come and pray through Jesus. Just come believing that Jesus has opened out this way and ask God to reveal it to you. He will work in you to change you on the inside. Now, this isn't about learning techniques of prayer, methods of prayer. It's coming, seeking to be in God's presence, speaking to him, telling him how you are, asking him to be at work, and not just in you, but in the whole community. Prayer in the New Testament isn't just for individuals. Pray for yourself. Act as a priest for the rest of the church family, for the other believers that you know. Pray that God will be at work within them. And then it says this, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God will forget the times that we've fallen short. When I come to pray in the name of Jesus, God offers me a new start. This is what I can claim through the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus and his high priestly work now. So, one of the jobs of Jesus the priest is to, if you like, transmit God's forgiveness to you. I mean, that's what Jesus did in his earthly life. Your sins are forgiven, he says. He says that the person who comes and prays to God and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, is the one who gets forgiven. Now, we've all fallen short. This world has fallen short. We need forgiveness. I need it. The church needs it. The world needs it. And it's there in Jesus today. Now, can I encourage you? I hope the Holy Spirit can communicate this to our hearts today. Can I encourage you to believe in forgiveness? To believe that our sins and our failings are washed away? Now, what that means at level one is that there is no barrier between us and God. We have this wonderful high priest. His name is Jesus, and he links us together. And I say confidently today, I don't know who's watching this. I don't know what you've done that you think is wrong or what you've done that God thinks is wrong. But there is free forgiveness in the name of Jesus. So he says, come to me, start with me, and I'll start to change the way that you think. And according to the letter to the Romans, true worship is to offer ourselves to God for the renewing of our minds. And this is a covenant. It is, we've read earlier on in the letter to the Hebrews, if you've been following this, it's an officially appointed and adoptive covenant. God has put his name on it. So today, let's come and pray in the name of Jesus that he will transform us.